BBC. Radio 1. BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Here's Tuesday's Scott Mills Daily Podcast. One of our listeners plays Real or No Real, one of our best bits of 2015, where we put Radio 1 listeners through to Deborah Meaden's home phone off of Dragon's Den to pitch their business ideas. And Eddie Redmayne is on to talk about new movie The Danish Girl, the Oscars, and his favourite TV show. Scott Mills, BBC Radio 1. You know all the emails that you got from shops before Christmas was like, it's still not too late to order your Christmas presents. Today's ones that I'm getting, up to half price, get your outfit in time for New Year's Eve. Ah, leave me alone!
There's always an event, isn't there? There's always something to look forward to.
There's always something that they think that you need to look forward to and have clothes for. Mm. I'm all right. That was Coldplay, Adventure of a Lifetime.
You get dressed up for New Year's Eve, do you? Bit too jazzy.
What are you on about? Of course you do.
Do you?
It should be one of your best dressed nights of the year. Well, what do you wear?
I keep it cash.
New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve.
If you're going out, you should be wearing your best. No?
What do you mean by that, though? Because, like, for example, I saw some pictures of Matt Edmondson out the other night, I think celebrating his birthday, and he was in full tux.
Quite right. I agree with him.
That's the kind of thing you should be doing on New Year's Eve.
You need to suit it up or at least look super smart on New Year's Eve.
All right.
I think, anyway. I'm still having to creep around my house. The family is still there. So it's a bit weird, isn't it? Like creeping around your own house at 5 a.m. going, can I make a coffee or is that too loud?
Well, it's around about this time. And I remember you having this situation last year that you were asking me ways that you could subtly suggest that they all leave.
No, I don't want them to leave. Actually, they're leaving today. It's all fine.
It's fine.
But it is that weird gap between Christmas and New Year where it just, I mean, because I'm coming here every day, I get home and they're still there. I'm like, oh, well, what day is it now? Mm. Also, we've just had this girl on. There we are, Carly, off to work insanely early because there was no traffic. I've made zero effort in my appearance, like you, Meals, and I've eaten Twiglets and dry roasted nuts for breakfast. I'm pleased that you and Chris will be here for these traumatic days in between Christmas and New Year. See, this habit needs to stop at once as well. It's because, look, I've already had a slice of pizza this morning.
Nice.
Right, because my little niece, who stayed with me, had pizza last night. There's one left. What do you do at 5:30? You come down and you bosh it, don't you?
Of course you do. I say as well, though, if you do have to go to work, dress down day today. Just
is that official?
Just declare it.
Okay. Let us know if you've made zero effort today on the way to work.
The Scott Mills Daily. BBC Radio 1.
Morning, Hannah, who says, it's my first day back at work today. I didn't even realise that the buses are weird. Instead of getting up and panicking, I decided to just be late for work. And I'm not even bothered. And I'll probably do it for the rest of the week. Morning, Jim, who's on the health, on the way to work in Leicester. Already had a tube of milk buttons for breakfast. Started going in on a pack of Starburst, but then felt bad and forced himself to eat an apple. And this will probably continue all day. That was The Vamps and Rest Your Love on BBC Radio 1. Just to warn you, if you're waking up this morning, there are two types of annoying celebrities on Instagram right now. The celebrities who are on the beach and celebrities who are off skiing. Do yourself a favour and avoid both.
I'm lying in this hotel, cuddling up to the body pillow.
BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
So is Grimmy on actual holiday with Rita Ora?
I assume so. What?
I mean, that's just what you assume. You don't know. I mean, I know they're mates and that. But all the showbiz sites today are reporting that they were on the same flight together to Miami. Imagine, I mean, I do like Rita Ora, but imagine being on a holiday with her. Mm. Would that not be a bit intense?
Well, in what sense?
Oh my God, babe. I'm going to the beach, babe. I don't know. It's just a little bit full on for me, maybe. But then Grimmy quite likes that madness, doesn't he?
Yeah, but they're like, they are good friends.
Yeah,
aren't
they are good mates.
And I suppose the X Factor thing brings you closer.
I reckon it does.
Do you not think the other two feel a little bit like, well, unless they're going as well, but it's a tad awkward, isn't it?
What do you think? Cheryl sat at home thinking, hello.
I think there'll be a part of her going, you know, she obviously hasn't been invited. Imagine you're in a situation, right, where you purposely don't invite someone like Cheryl Cole to whatever you're doing. Not that I'm saying that's happened, I'm just assuming.
And Simon, do you think he's bothered that he's not there?
No, but he's like, I don't know, he's like an uncle,
he
isn't he?
He doesn't care because he's on a massive yacht in Barbados.
You used to call me on my... You used to.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Morning, Sophie.
Hello.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. You?
What are you doing this early time?
I'm getting ready for work.
Okay, what do you do?
I work in retail.
Retail is detail.
Yeah, it is.
Wow, must be a busy time as well.
Yeah, busy time of year at the moment. There's okay. One day off and that's Christmas.
Boxing Day is like your busiest day, right?
Actually, Christmas Eve for us, but some stores it is Boxing Day.
Okay.
Do you work for one of those shops where they put a red rope outside?
No.
Just to create a bit of atmosphere.
I wish I did.
Do you work in one of those shops where there's always a sale on?
No, luckily.
Okay.
Wait, Mills, if you're a celebrity, right, and you turn up at the sales and there's everyone queuing behind the red rope, do you get to go right to the front?
Yeah, straight in.
Do you?
Yeah.
So it's like...
I definitely would let him to the front of the queue.
Would you?
Yeah.
Would you?
Celebrity rights.
Yeah,
amazing.
That's what I mean. Like, is it like when you turn up at a club, Scott, you can do the same thing, just go to the front?
Straight in, mate, yeah.
Wow.
Actually joking, obviously. Okay, let's play today's Real or No Real. Here's your first one.
A collaboration between Disclosure and Rihanna broke down after the Umbrella singer refused to record vocals in the dance duo's converted garage studio in Surrey.
I do remember this one.
If you're as big as Disclosure and you're producing massive songs, I would say that a lot of artists want to work with you. And if that's the case, I would insist that they have to come to your garage.
Yeah. But we're talking about Rihanna, one of the biggest stars in the world. She don't want to go like messing around with some garage in Surrey.
Yeah, but she loves doing it in car parks and stuff, doesn't she?
I have heard that. I heard that she recorded her most successful album in the O2 car park.
Really?
Yeah.
I reckon she's a bit of a diva. I reckon she can just say no when she wants to.
The thing is, right, you can put a studio in everywhere now, right? Like, you've got a microphone there. If it's not soundproof, just put a blanket over your head or like a duvet.
Oh, yeah, it could be in a toilet. It could be anything, couldn't it?
Yeah. And before you know it, it's like, wanna make me feel like I'm the only girl in the world. But you're in a car park.
Yeah, you hear these amazing songs and you don't realise that they're actually created in quite dirty little places.
Yeah. Like, you know that one, is to the freaking weekend, yeah, drink to that, awful. That was recorded, actually, in the car park of Wembley Stadium.
It's incredible.
Every car park in England. Mm.
So is this real or no real? A collaboration between Disclosure and Rihanna broke down because she didn't want to go to their garage in Surrey.
I'm going to say no real.
If that's how they want to make their music, then that's the kind of thing they can insist on. But imagine turning down Rihanna based on the fact she won't come round to yours. I think Disclosure are big enough to turn down Rihanna now. I'm going to say real.
That one is no real.
Ah, it is no real, but Disclosure have said in an interview that they wouldn't want to work with Rihanna because they prefer to work with artists who write their own songs.
Ooh!
And next,
the blanket was invented by Thomas Blanket.
Quite a factual one for real or no real, isn't it?
You could probably say that about quite a lot of things. I don't know that it's that much of a common surname. I've never heard anyone have the surname Blanket before.
No, but it makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it's a strange word to make up.
Yeah, I'm going to say no real.
Too obvious, right?
Yeah, I think it's too obvious.
Okay.
No, you see, I can't think why you would make up the word blanket, so it makes me think it must be a name. So I'm going to go real.
That one is real.
Yes. Real.
Oh, no.
I've never heard anyone called Blanket before, so it makes sense.
Maybe it's pronounced Blanquet.
Blanquet. And finally,
in the later Harry Potter films, all the wizards' pockets are sewn up because the actors couldn't be trusted not to hide sweets in them on set.
I don't remember this one.
That would suggest that there's been a problem in past Harry Potters. Because
they just cut to the actors and their stuff in their faces with those Harry Potter suits.
Yeah, and they didn't want a repeat of that, so they had to sew up all the pockets.
I don't think they'd be that mean. I think they'd let them have the suits.
They weren't sewing up all the holes with it. I mean, the wizards could still have sleeves to hide the suits in.
Yeah, but the pockets were sewn up.
Right, okay, fine.
Because you think they can stash loads.
That's what I mean. You'd think in those outfits that you could hide them under the hat, you could hide them anywhere, couldn't you?
All the pockets on Strictly Come Dancing are sewn up as well.
Same reason.
I don't know why.
I think it's because it looks a bit scruffy if you've got your hands in your pockets. And when you're nervous, that's naturally what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Sometimes at work we have like coat pockets that are sewn up. It's just to keep them in shape.
Really?
So that might be why, yeah.
Is that what it is? Because I've always wondered, because I always buy clothes and then find myself having to force open the pockets.
Yeah, I didn't even know until the other day. I only realised that you just cut the stitch in and there you go, you have a pocket.
And that's to make them look like they're in shape?
Yeah, like they hang better on the hanger.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I just thought, I didn't know what was going on actually. I just couldn't work out if I was meant to be opening them up as pockets. That's really interesting.
I only found out that the other day.
But were the wizard's pockets on Harry Potter sewn up?
Well, there was a lot of kids working on Harry Potter, wasn't there? So I think sweets would have really been on, would have probably annoyed the director. So I think, weirdly, I think this might be real.
I think I'll say no real, because I don't think they'd be that mean. If they've got a long day filming, I think they'd let them have a few sweets.
That one is real.
Yes.
Dear, yes.
Nice.
Pesky actors, they got a bit bored, so they're trying to hide all the sweets. But they couldn't because no pockets. At the end of that round of Real or No Real,
I got 20, Sophie got 10. Unlucky Sophie.
That's all right.
Have a good day today in your retail.
Thank you. You
what too. Shop does it rhyme with?
Schmuluk.
Oh, Schmuluk.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Have a good day.
Thank you. Bye.
Love you, bye. The Scott Mills Daily. Good morning. If you're just waking up, maybe you are going back to work today, or maybe you're having another day just sat there in your pyjamas eating sweets. That's happening. Who was the person earlier that just had, what was it for breakfast they had?
Breakfast
of Champions.
Oh, that was it. Bubbling Squeak
on toast.
With turkey.
At 5:45 this morning. Good work, everyone. The Scott Mills Daily. BBC Radio 1. So, the family is still in my house at the moment.
Mm.
And we were struggling to find something that all of the family could watch last night. My little niece is 6 now. I was really looking forward to watching Gogglebox because it was Gogglebox 2015 last night.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, I'll just settle down to watch it. She was like, can we have Mickey Mouse's Clubhouse on? I was like, do you know what? No, we're going to watch this. And then the announcer on Channel 4 goes, and now with some scenes of violence and slightly naughty scenes, it's Gogglebox. And my brother was like, well, this is going off. So what are we going to watch now? So I've recorded that.
Oh, you've done really well in that situation, because the problem is, I find, if you're watching stuff with your parents, I get really funny about watching stuff with my parents.
Yeah.
My brother's really cool with it, but I can't watch anything remotely rude with my parents. I don't know why.
Also, my mum was there, and I think some bits of Gogglebox wouldn't have been for her. So that I totally understand why we had to turn that off.
But you did really well with that, because in that situation, normally no one says anything. They just try and ride it out.
Yeah. Well, my brother put it out there. He's like, right, this is not for her. So I was like, okay, turn it over. So then I was like searching for something else to watch that the whole family could agree on. That's difficult.
Mm.
So we ended up watching a really old Bake Off.
Really?
Like, really old. Oh. Right, on the Good Food.
Mm.
And it was on last night. The haircuts of Mel and Sue dated it somewhat. But I tell you what, have you watched any old bake-offs, like 6 years old ones? It's weird, man.
Why?
Because it's different. It's like before they had a makeover. So Mary Berry hasn't even put a brush through her hair. There's certainly no floral blazer. She looks kind of bland.
Yeah, I bet Paul Hollywood doesn't look as sharp.
Paul Hollywood doesn't even have a tan.
No.
Right? And he's got like kind of like a tub of that green wet look gel on, £1 from Savers. And Mary just looks like not Mary.
Mm.
Mel and Sue are kind of the same. But they used to go to a different place every week to do it.
Do they?
You know, they just kind of, they're in that big tent now in like normally in a stately home's grounds.
Now it's
grounds.
Like a circus. They just part the tent up and they're there.
Well, each week they used to go to a different town. It wasn't just in one place where you didn't know where it was. Because I don't know where the Bake Off house is now, do you? It's just a tent, isn't it, somewhere. But they're like, this week we're in King's Lynn. And Also, you'd see that the tent was not on its own. Mm. So when they're doing interviews, you see people going for a jog next to it. Watch an old Bake Off later on. It's really weird to see. This is kind of before it got really popular, I think.
So it's just people walking around, stuff there's, going on in the bushes.
Yeah, there's people like make it like they realise they're on camera and they're doing like "Ray" signs outside the tent.
And does I suppose there isn't all the catchphrases as well? And does Sue go "Bake" in a weird way?
None of that. So we were watching a really old Bake Off. Obviously, we won't continue the series now. We just watched one as a one-off. Mm. But I'm kind of into it now. I think it's 2008 or 9 we were watching. This is the best bit. My brother's wife goes to the loo and says, "Can we pause this?" So we're pausing a 2008 episode of Great British Bake Off. Watch an old one. It's different. Get on my elevator, baby, we're going up. Give me that now and later. I can't get enough. So much to discover. Please don't stop me now. Every time I touch it, they're front off the ground. Let them go. BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily. Nick Jonas, Levels on BBC Radio 1. Michelle's been on saying, I also watched the old Bake Off yesterday. Couldn't even remember who won. And it was the semi-finals. It is old. It's weird watching old shows. Like, before they were really popular. Because when Bake Off was first on, it got a couple of million, I think, but it was like not 14 million or whatever it gets now.
I reckon old X Factor as well would look like almost a joke version of X Factor now.
Yeah, I'm quite into watching like shows that you really know well, but really, really old ones just to see how they've changed. The Scott Mills Daily. Not that much going on today. There's loads of celebs skiing, there's loads of celebs on a beach, and there's loads of celebs on Instagram sat in gyms going, I'm so fat, I can't wait to get back to it. Also, on Kourtney Kardashian's website, you can see a video of Kanye and Kim at home. And clearly visible are the 150 Christmas presents that Kanye bought Kim on Christmas Day. They're all there. You can see all of them. You can see exactly what he bought her as well.
Oh, can you?
Yeah, yeah.
So out of that 150, are a load of them really small things?
Some of them are small, some of them are massive, but there is a Lynx gift set in there from her to him as well, if you look carefully.
I couldn't even think of 150 things to get.
If you've got all the money, you could find it. Oh, this is amazing. Guess who's confirmed for the next series of The Jump, that show where they go to, is it Austria, hosted by Davina McCall, and celebs have to jump off something, but it doesn't even look that impressive on TV. Even though they build it up to be like, and they're about to do it, and you're like, is that it? It probably is big in real life.
I think when you're doing it, yeah, that's exactly it. When you're doing it, yeah. It must be terrifying, but yeah, it looks rubbish.
See, I've said things like that before about reality TV shows. Oh, it looks easy. And then before you know it, you're on them. So it looks really hard. So Joey Essex did it last year, was it? This year, Arge is doing it.
Oh, yes.
Oh, he's going to be excellent. Arge is on the jump.
They need to make the ramps bigger.
What, for Arge?
You know, let's see them fly. Let's really test them.
Let's really see them in the air, please. There's our build for 2016. That's what we'd like to see.
Bigger ramps.
This is the time of year when pop stars' cousins and aunties and uncles come out of the woodwork, and because there's nothing actually going on, it gets in the papers. So Tony Tweedy's been on, who's Cheryl's cousin, and said that her marriage to Jean Bernard may be struggling because she can't speak French. The irony. And what's this about Beyonce not fancying Jay-Z when they first met?
Well, it's another family situation, so apparently Beyonce's uncle...
They see, they all come out at this time of year. Hello, I'm Tony Tweedy.
There's a load of...
I'm related to Cheryl Fernandez Vecina Tweedy. Do you want a story in papers? All right, then, yeah, we'll print that.
There's a load of stories saying that her uncle apparently said when Beyonce first met Jay-Z and was asked, did she fancy him? She was like, ooh.
Right.
Like, definitely
not. She actually did the ew noise. Okay, I'm not sure I believe that. Here's Charlie Puth at Wiz Khalifa. It's been a without you, my friend, and I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way,
from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. When I see you again.
The Scott Mills Daily.
If you're going back to work today, sorry, I don't know why I'm apologising. It's not actually my fault. But I do feel partly responsible for you. I don't know why.
Well, it's because, yeah, I kind of get that attitude, actually. It's because you're possibly the first voice that a lot of people are hearing this morning. Oh. And you just want to ease them in.
I just want to ease them in.
Do you know what I mean?
I do. Stephen is struggling a bit in Wolverhampton. Dean in Warrington's on. Jim as well from Peterborough. Good morning to you. So we are doing some of the best bits of 2015 in this weird in-between Christmas and New Year bit. Earlier this year, we managed to get hold of Deborah Meaden off of Dragon Den home phone number. Because like Adele, she still uses landlines. So we did a thing called Instant Dragon's Den. You know, if you want to pitch your business idea on Dragon's Den, it's a long thing. So normally you apply because you think you've got a great business idea. You have to then be successful with your application. Then you have to speak to a couple of researchers and a few producers to see if you're suitable for the TV show. And eventually you might go into the den to try and impress the dragons, to pitch your business idea. But that can take months, sometimes years. Imagine if I was able to put you straight through to Deborah Meaden at home, and you can pitch your idea. That was the idea of Instant Dragon's Den. She didn't really like the calls that much, but it is a great idea. Just put you guys straight through to Deborah Meaden at home to pitch something to her and cut out all of the TV stuff, because it can take ages.
Oh, it's long. You've got to get a lift at one point, haven't you?
Oh, you've got to get in that grotty lift. Yeah,
yeah. That's what I mean. You don't need any of that if you've got the home phone number for a dragon.
So here's what happened when listener Lee had a go. Good morning, Lee.
Morning.
Where are you?
Sat in a van.
In a van where?
Just at Knutsford Services on the M6.
Oh, that's one of my favourites, actually. In beautiful Cheshire.
Correct.
You say all the services are your favourite. I think you're lying.
No, there's some
Knutsford
terrible...
Knutsford is not your favourite.
It's not one... I said it's one of my favourites.
Is it, though?
Yeah, it's got posh people in, because Cheshire.
No Fleet, though.
It's not up as good as Fleet, and it's definitely not as good as Beaconsfield. Anyway, Lee, in your kind of third best service station in the UK, are you ready to be connected to Deborah Meaden?
Let's give it a go.
Now, I warn you, I am connecting you straight through to her phone at home. She might find that a bit weird, but this is your one chance, OK, to do full-on Dragon's Den sell to her.
Let's go.
You think you've got a good idea?
I've got the best idea.
Do you think you might get a backing from Meaden?
Millions.
OK.
This is good.
OK, right, I'm calling Deborah Meaden right now. When she picks up, speak.
OK.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Hello?
Hello, is that Deborah?
Speaking.
Deborah, I've got the most amazing idea for you. Do you want to hear it?
How did you get my number?
My friend Scott.
Right.
Are you ready?
Okay, go on.
Okay, so this idea, this is going to change the lives of millions of people across the UK. I'm literally going to reinvent one of the nation's most used machines around the house. Okay, so we're talking about a snack-making machine. Now, this snack's loved by men, women and children right across the land. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Talking about cheese on toast.
Right. I'm pretty sure that's been invented, but what's different about yours?
It's the way that you make cheese on toast. Cheese on toast, it's a simple snack, but it's an arduous task. You've got to preheat the grill. You've got to line the grill pan with foil. You've got to toast one side of the bread. You've got to take it out, put the cheese on, put it back under the grill. I'm going to eradicate all that. I present to you the cheese on toaster.
Right.
Okay. So essentially, it's very similar to your standard toaster, but if you visualise your standard toaster and flip it on its side, you put a layer of Pyrex glass or something to catch the drips of cheese. You lay your cheese on top of the bread. You put your cheese in the cheese on toaster. It's all done in one motion.
So does this look anything at all like the cheese on toast maker that is out there at the moment?
There is no cheese on toast maker.
Well, isn't what's that one that you put your bread and then your cheese and then your bread and then you pull the lid down and it seals it and makes lovely cheese on toast. Which one's that?
That's a sandwich toaster. This is a cheese on toaster. This is one slice of bread with cheese on top. No lid on top. Exactly.
Okay. Okay. How much is this going to cost?
Well, I reckon about £30, Deborah.
Did you just pluck that number out of the air?
No, I've done some sums.
Have you done any research, though?
I've done lots of research.
So when you say you've done some sums, so these sums actually relate to you knowing how much it costs to make one of these, or were they just adding up sums?
Just adding up sums.
Yeah, that was just adding up numbers, wasn't it, and coming up with the number 30.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Okay, and how hard do you think people really think it is to make cheese on toast?
Well, it's not necessarily how hard it is, it's the risk involved as well. You know, when you're removing the toast from the grill, you've got two potential opportunities to be burning yourself here. You've got one, when you pick up the hot steaming bread that you've got to turn over. Secondly, there's a wire grill rack that you could potentially burn your fingers on. We're taking away all that.
So your USP on this is that it's health and safety wise, it's much safer than using a toaster or a grill.
It's much safer and it's much quicker. You know, it's half the time. You've got one process here of popping the cheese on, placing the bread in. It's all done in one motion. You've not got to take it out and turn it over and place the cheese on and put it back under the grill.
Can I just ask how long you've thought about this?
Oh, years. I've been wanting this for a long time.
Is your everyday life quite busy?
Yeah, it's not so bad.
Do you talk to other people? Has anybody else asked you or even suggested it might be a good idea?
I've mentioned it to one or two, and yeah, they all seem keen.
When you say you mentioned it?
Yeah, you know, in pub conversations. And on the note of pubs, this is perfect. When you come back from the pub, you may have had four or five pints, want a quick snack.
Yeah, I have to say, it's a pretty... do you know, it's a shame because this is your kind of one opportunity to really, really impress me, and I'm afraid you haven't, so I'm out.
Oh, that's no good. Hello?
Oh, she's gone.
Oh, no.
Oh, that didn't go so good, did it?
No, not really, no. How do you feel?
Deflated.
Mm. She's good at that. That's why she's there to troubleshoot, you know? She obviously didn't think it was good enough.
What did you think, Scott?
I mean, I trust the medium, you see, whatever she says goes. And there are holes in this cheese on toast.
Mate, I think you're a genius.
I am a genius, Chris.
But you know, some people don't value genius.
Exactly.
She gave you quite a long time on the phone considering she didn't know why you were calling her.
That's true.
Thanks very much, Lee. I'm sorry it didn't work out. Maybe next time.
Next time, definitely.
Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.
The Scott Mills Daily. BBC
Radio 1. Right, so the TV's gone a bit rubbish again now, I think. It was, like, decent all the way up to and including Christmas. Now, I just think it's a bit average again.
Do you know what you need to get into? Sons of Anarchy.
Is that good?
Right, I was up really late watching it. You know, and you know when you get into something and you just keep watching one more, then one more, then one more? I was doing that last night, longer than I should have.
What time did you go to bed?
Oh, I went to bed early. I went to bed at about 10. But I didn't sleep until about 2.
Thinking about it or just watching more?
Just watching this show.
Oh, wow. Oh, I like that, though, when you're like, oh, okay, just one more. Oh, but I've got to be up at 4:30. Oh, just one more.
It's so good.
Another thing that you can feast your eyes on in this television drought that we're having right now. I mean, there's loads of best of shows, right? But I've kind of feel like I've seen all of those now. Mm. And the most shocking celebrity moments of 2015. What you should need to watch is just feast your eyes on all the good stuff that Radio 1's done in 2015 on BBC iPlayer right now. So you can get all the live music. So all your favourites, Calvin Harris, Disclosure and Faithless as we relive our Ibiza 20-year celebrations from the summer just gone. Then there's the big weekend in Norwich. You can watch all the performances from Five Sauce, from Years and Years, and Florence and the Machine, and loads more. Then there was the stuff at the Teen Awards. Bieber, for example. And all of One Extra Life. And relive the entire Kanye set from Glastonbury. It's all there right now. Some good, some bad, some... I don't even know what to think of it. on the Radio 1 channel of BBC iPlayer. It just kind of sums up all of Radio 1 in 2015 and what we did. We've got our own channel on iPlayer now, so watch it on Big Telly later. She is a freak of the week. Everybody, see, she is a freak of the week. What's that on that beat? Last night I had two. Vegas swears always getting real. Something sexy about them pretty, keep it hood. BBC Radio 1. Daily. Morning, Jason from Barclay near Bristol. Driving to work to look at drains all day. He's a drainage engineer clearing blocked drains. Happy New Year. That's what you want to go back to, isn't it? First day back at work. Didn't you tweet something about how it was a busy day for toilets the other day? I'm sure I saw.
Oh, yeah.
What was that?
I don't know. I just had a moment on Boxing Day. I was thinking to myself, do you know what? What a punishing day. What a punishing day for toilets, but...
And then you put a hashtag double flush.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. Ian says, BBC Proms doing all of the Ibiza tracks with Pete Tong was amazing. If people haven't seen that, that's the show to watch on iPlayer. That is actually incredible.
So cool.
BBC Proms, kind of mastered by Pete Tong, just doing so many songs that you will know, like Ibiza classics. That is brilliant. Jake in Scotland says, if you don't like Sons of Anarchy, get yourself onto Wetflix and get into Peaky Blinders. Right, it's doing my head yes. And there's so many shows to watch and I'm not into any of them. Like, what do I do first?
Sons of Anarchy, there's so many series. I've been going at it for a while and I've been spending hours doing it. You need to catch up.
It stresses me out. Good morning to somebody who's enjoying toast and chocolate truffles for breakfast. As the Christmas New Year health continues, this is about the time of year when gyms start to get, like, super busy now, isn't it?
It seems to be the case that you can just put anything on toast.
Yeah. So the gyms get busy now, and then mid-January, everyone packs it in and the treadmills are free again. Daily. And here is Eddie Redmayne. Yeah.
BBC. BBC Radio 1.
Eddie, it is great to meet you.
I'd love to meet you too.
Thank you so much for coming on. So your new movie is The Danish Girl and you're playing one of the first people to undergo gender confirmation surgery. If you can tell us who your character is and when is the movie set?
So the movie's set in the 1920s when the word transgender didn't exist, when there was kind of no vocabulary or community. And then lived this amazing woman called Lily Elba, who was born Ina Vena. And so she was born as a man. And basically through the love of her extraordinary partner, played by Alicia Vikander, she found herself. And it's an amazing love story, but also a story of sort of courage and authenticity.
Was it a story that you knew of before?
Sure, I didn't. And I was making Les Miserables. I was kind of running around barricades in Pinewood, desperately trying to sing, and not massively successfully. And then Tom Hooper, who was directing that, one day just, he said, I've got this script. Didn't say anything about it. So I'm curious to see what you think. And I read it, and I found it like unlike any love story I'd ever read. And I kind of couldn't believe I hadn't heard of it. It was,
yeah.
I mean, I'm deeply biased, but I thought it was one of the great love stories of the 20th century.
Would you say it's your most challenging character to date?
Do you know, I realised this thing that I feel like each character I play is the most challenging.
Yeah,
and I always say, no, that was the one. Yeah. That was the one that pushed me. There were certainly challenges, but it was wonderful and it felt like a privilege. She's an amazing woman, so... Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've said before that one of the hardest moments for you was stepping out onto set for the first time in female form and watching how the crew reacted. Is that right?
Yeah, well, there was one day when I came onto set first as Lily and you just felt, I don't know if it's my own neurosis, but you kind of felt scrutiny and you felt like you were being judged. And it sort of echoed when I was prepping for the film. I met lots of trans women and they shared their experience. And one of the things that I was told was that first time of going out into the world, that feeling of judgment, but for them mixed with the actual fear of discrimination and violence, whereas of course I was doing it in an entirely safe environment. It was nothing like it, but I did feel, you felt that sort of male gaze, you know, being looked at.
Yeah, obviously, unlike Stephen Hawking, that the subject of this movie is no longer alive. So how do you study her? Is it photos or?
It's quite a lot of photos, and she wrote a book off, that was published after she died. But really, if I'm being honest, I look nothing like her. So there was quite a lot of artistic license,
right.
And without. But what, on this film, it was all the people that I met in prep who kind of were so generous with their stories. They were the people that you felt responsibility to.
Right. Okay. Was the research as intense, would you say, for Theory of Everything?
I'm some bit of a sort of geek, really. One of the great things about being an actor is I love that.
You get to
sort of find out things and learn about and meet people and make new friends and all of that kind of wonderful stuff. So I kind of love that.
What is fascinating and shocking is the medical reaction, because she's diagnosed as schizophrenic and homosexual and recommended for electroshock therapy. Mm. Now, this wasn't. If you, in the grand scheme of things, it wasn't that long ago, was it?
No.
Where people were going through this.
Absolutely. And I think that what kind of I found amazing about the story is, you know, we think in the past year, the trans issues have come so much into the forefront of the media and mainstream media. It's wonderful. But actually, it's almost 100 years ago that this story happened.
Yeah.
And kind of there has been progress, but only in the last year or two. And there's still such a sort of way to go.
It is incredible that it's just, I mean, it's really there in the media now. But actually, you're right, it's probably only a year or two max where we've really, really heard about it a lot. And that's quite incredible because it's 2015.
It took Tom Hooper and the producers 15 years to get this film made. And only now in this, is it sort of tiptoeing out into the world?
Yeah. I'm with Eddie Redmayne on Radio 1, back in a moment if that's right with you.
Absolutely.
Sweet!
Daily.
Eddie Redmayne is on today.
He is really cool, isn't he?
Yeah, the coolest.
And he just, his way with words, he's very, what's the right word for it? He's very eloquent.
Yes.
In the way he gets things across.
Just a really, really interesting man. Could chat to him for hours. Here's some more.
BBC.
BBC Radio 1.
I know that you were told about your last Oscar nomination when you were out Christmas shopping. Is that true?
That may be true, yes.
And did you do a little whoop in the street?
I think I may have slightly embarrassingly high-fived myself in the middle of Oxford Street. I was like, exactly. In a disgusting fashion. Yeah.
And many mulled wines were probably consumed.
Definitely, definitely. A lot of that.
Were you 3 weeks into shooting this movie when you flew to the Oscars?
Yeah.
And then you picked up an Oscar.
Yeah.
And then flew straight back.
Yeah,
and then continued with this movie the next day.
That is true. Had a slightly weird experience in Heathrow, and then went straight onto set. But it was good because otherwise you get caught up in the circus, and the circus is deeply intoxicating. So it was quite good to be. I came back with a cracking hangover and went back to set. But fortunately, the scene that I was doing when I got back to set involved me lying down. So it was just a bit of a hangover ingrained on my face.
Well, you must have been pleased when you saw that. I was like, okay, good. I'm lying down
exactly,
today.
Good lying down scene. Yeah.
I've read somewhere that you also got changed in a supermarket car park.
That's true.
Which
Tesco,
one?
Cromwell Road. You know the one.
Oh,
that
right.
Big one. Yeah. On the way out to Heathrow, yeah.
Rihanna recorded an album there once.
Really?
In that same car
no.
park. I believe one of her most successful albums was recorded in that car
Not
park.
Not the whole thing. Surely they just took like a sort of sample of a foghorn or
no,
something.
No, because now you can record albums everywhere.
Can
so
you?
They just, yeah. So
was, she was on the way to that Heathrow.
So a lot of things have happened in that Cromwell Road supermarket car park.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Wow.
Yeah. Fun fact for you there.
I've got one.
Who was the first person to text you after when you'd won the Oscar?
Who's the first person to text me? Do you know my whole family were away on holiday and watching it on telly, and my brother had done this thing because the Twitter and everything was a bit ahead of the telly thing.
Right.
He basically made everyone turn off their phones, and without everyone knowing, he filmed the back of my family watching to see if I won. I don't know what would have happened if I hadn't won. I don't think I'd have ever seen
you
that video.
You wouldn't have seen the footage.
But the footage was kind of, actually that for me was like the most moving thing. It was like my family on the other side of the world, I'm quite excited.
That's great though that he actually like...
Had the insight,
but also cut off all social media so he could watch it on the TV like everyone else. That's fantastic. Because he could have found it earlier, but he's just like, let's film it. And obviously the reaction was fantastic.
It was good. No, they were pleased.
Yeah. Where is that Oscar right now?
That Oscar is looking sort of so shiny that it almost doesn't look real. I basically sort of come back occasionally to my flat and it's sitting there and you're slightly drunk and you can't quite believe it's real. And maybe you go and sort of have a look at it and a bit of a study, just check it's still there. And it sits in my living room.
Fantastic. If you've had a couple of drinks... Yeah. You must go through a slight thing. I think it would be like, okay, I've actually... That was me.
No, it still doesn't really
That's
make
sense. That's so weird.
The other wonderful thing is Jimmy Kimmel randomly sent me this kind of gift after the Oscars, and I opened this thing, and it said, you know, with love, Jimmy Kimmel. I opened it, it was basically a pair of wife fronts that was specifically moulded to said on Oscar. And it sits on the Oscar, so it's kind of like, it's perfectly sculpted...
And are they on the Oscar?
Yeah, they sit on the Oscar. Although the Velcro's kind of coming falling apart a little bit.
Sure.
At the moment, but yeah,
they're not very well made. Did somebody look after it after you'd won it? Because I would worry that I would have a few drinks at the after party because you're in that kind of adrenaline mode of I've won.
Yeah.
And then I'd lose it.
Yeah.
I'd leave my bag. I'd put it in the bag. I'd leave
definitely,
it.
Definitely. It got picked up several times and sort of placed back in my hands as I was going, as it was sort of... but of course, everyone wants a selfie including me, I think I took several of myself with the Oscar. It did get passed around quite a lot, but fortunately it made its way home.
Thank goodness. Now, that, I've got to say, and I'm interested in what you think about this, the goodie bag that you get looks amazing.
Didn't get it.
Oh, what?
After all that chat. And I read the articles saying that you get flown to a spa in Bali, and I was like, get in! Whatever happens, I'm going to get to go to a spa in Bali. Didn't get one.
But surely you can ring them and go, hello, I'm Oscar winner Eddie Redmayne.
Didn't happen.
Right.
No, don't know what happens with that whole malarkey.
Once you've won, you're dead to them afterwards. Exactly. Here we are. Here's your reward now. Be off. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, I think...
I wish I could tell you about the really expensive manicure I had, but it didn't work out. So.
I've heard all sorts.
Yeah. What?
It's watches. It's holidays. Yeah. It's
I heard there was dirty stuff in there as well.
Though. I've heard that as well.
Yeah,
we heard that earlier.
I thought it was mildly controversial.
Why would you ever need one of those? but, you know, how come you didn't get it? It's because you were in and out.
I think a lot of that is fabricated for...
I think if you're a winner,
our excitement.
Yeah, if you're a winner, it's even better. But we'll never know. So let's move on. Do you find that you can kind of move around London or LA pretty unnoticed?
Yes, generally.
Even now.
I mean, I get on the tube quite a lot. Occasionally, like Saturday night on the tube, if people are sort of wee bit happy, and then it can turn into a mini moment. But other than that, it's absolutely fine.
Okay. Yeah, they get a bit braver, I suppose.
Yeah,
and they will ask for a photo.
You're on the telly.
What are you on?
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
No, it's
they come
not.
They go, wait, no, I know you, and you go, and then they go, well, what have you been in? And you then slightly, you sort of go, this film? And they go, never heard of it. This one? And it's just slightly embarrassing. You find yourself listing your CV and they're like, no, never heard of it.
The thing is, you can't walk off because you're in that carriage.
Exactly. Wait to the next one. Yeah. Down to the next carriage.
So you don't get, it's not like a situation where you have photographers outside your house and all that business.
No, there was a day after the Oscars in which that happened, and there was a really riveting set of photos. Of the headline was Eddie Mundane, as I went to Sainsbury's and went to the laundrette.
Oh, you're so normal.
So normal.
You're not on... Are you on any social media?
I'm not, no.
Is that a conscious thing? Have you ever been tempted
to? I'm not funny enough, and I'm
I don't
too
you have to be self. Funny.
You have to be. It's, if you're self-conscious like I am, then you like. I'd probably sit and write a tweet, and then spend 17 hours sort of re-editing it and hating myself, and then put it out and get punished for it. I mean, yeah, life's difficult enough
without all that. Yeah, I've heard that what might have to happen now is that like, you have to get an HQ.
What's that?
Well, basically, it's someone that tweets for you.
Oh,
like
no.
Adele recently said that she now has to, if she writes a tweet, she has to be signed off by three people before she sends it, which kind of takes away any immediacy of social media, really.
Exactly.
Or you can maybe get on Snapchat and show people what you're having for dinner that night.
Great.
Because that's what people use it for.
I know. I just need to, I'm a bit of a sort of mild technophobe. I try and get my life synced and it all ends up going into...
Oh, what, and your diary goes wrong. And
some of the things are popping up everywhere. Alarms are going off.
Maybe it's not for you then.
Not for me. Stay off it. Yeah, okay.
I know that Hollywood found it really crazy you didn't have a stylist.
Yes, because is so embarrassing. Do we have someone?
No, we don't. But they're like, but you look great. And it's like, you obviously can dress yourself because you're a person. but I was in America and I saw like, and he doesn't even have a stylist. It's like...
I said, is it true you don't have a stylist? I was like, yeah. And then they were like, and it became a sort of big thing, and I felt like I looked like a complete idiot. Yes, I do all my own dressing. I put on my clothes.
But
in
you
the
can't really win, can
yeah,
you?
No,
because
exactly.
It's like, yeah,
no.
I don't think you'll ever get one, and that's probably best.
No.
Well, you wouldn't ever move to LA, would you?
No, but I do love LA.
There's something.
Everyone sort of whines about it, but my God, it's sunny and beautiful.
I know. There's something quite exciting about it,
totally.
But also really shallow.
Do you know, there was an amazing moment the night of the Oscars. You basically, straight after the show, you get sort of thrust around to media-y things and you don't actually get a moment to yourself and to some extraordinary parties, none of which I can remember because I was too high on adrenaline.
But you did go to them?
Yeah, sort of went, appeared at them, but then or sort of experienced them but don't remember them. But then finally at about like... I think about 5 a.m, about 7 mates and my wife and I were on the roof of this hotel in Los Angeles over Sunset Boulevard. I mean, living that they're all Brits, living the sort of parody of the British actor dream, and the sun came up, and that was a sort of overlooking Sunset Boulevard. I just kind of fell deeply in love with Los Angeles then.
Yeah,
I was like,
right.
If this is what LA is, I'm here to stay.
So maybe you will move there.
Who knows?
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Someone just put, I was dreading work today, but you're keeping me entertained. I love Eddie Redmayne. By the way, I had scrambled eggs topped with peanut butter for breakfast. Protein? Is that nice? I'm going to try that later. That could be a game changer. I'm not convinced. They're like, don't knock it till you've tried it. All right, then. Adele coming up with Hello, and then Adele Roberts at 10 on Radio 1. Also, Blonde and Alex Newell with All Cried Out. And now the last bit of my chat with Eddie Redmayne.
One. BBC Radio 1.
Now, you obviously, through this interview, have been extremely grounded, because you are. But can I just see how much, so let me have a little check. Do you put time into buying thoughtful Christmas presents, or any presents, or do you just throw money at the situation?
Oh, God, truth of the matter is, I always feel like any present you give, you should also give the list of things you thought about giving.
Well, that's
the
great.
The actual present you give is never good enough. But, like, when they see how much thought went in all the other options, I'm like, I really freaking tried, but that's all you're getting.
So, you want the whole thought process that's gone into it to be written down.
Exactly.
I really like that. Do you send Christmas cards? If so, do you sign them? Or do you get someone to do that for you?
No, but I don't send Christmas cards. But when I was a kid, I loved making Christmas cards.
Yeah.
Like, I love a bit of Pritt Stick and glitter.
Yeah. I think Christmas cards are dying out.
I know.
It's
which is sad.
Yeah. Have you ever re-gifted anything you've got for free?
No comment.
Oh, come on, we've all done it.
Maybe the odd scarf, but don't tell my dad.
Okay. Oh, so it's your dad. Okay, it's fine. He'll probably never hear this. Have you found that you've got more friends since you won an Oscar?
Definitely.
What about people at school? Like someone that you used to be in woodwork with or something? Who's like, hi, remember me?
I haven't seen. I mean, I have like my close group of friends from school, but I haven't really seen any of the others, so I wouldn't know.
Okay. If one of your films comes on the television, do you change the channel?
Absolutely.
Do you? Really?
Hideousness. Yeah. It's not fun. You go through a sort of weird thing when just as a film's being edited, if a director lets you in and you still have a kind of input, then I will go and be like quite rigorous. But the second it's out there into the world, there's nothing you can do and you endlessly hate yourself. So it does no good for the world.
But hate yourself for what? Like, because, oh, I could have acted that better, the way you look?
Kind of have, like, no, because you haven't... In your imagination, like, you have... It's a bit like when you read a book, how you see... the characters in your imagination. Then when you watch an adaptation of that book, you're like, wait, that's not how I envisaged it. And it's the same thing. It's a bit like when you film, you see yourself on a camcorder or something. Mm. God, that sounds a bit mid-90s.
Watching a VHS of yourself.
And you hate the sound of your voice, or you hate the thing you look. It's not what you think you're projecting to the world, and it's exactly the same for actors.
I never thought a camcorder would get mentioned in this interview. Yeah. That's fantastic. So, yeah, you don't like watching yourself. But obviously you have to watch the film when you've made it.
Yeah, no, you do. Yeah. You do. I tend to do that, yeah.
Yes.
Only like once or twice, yeah.
All right, so how many times have you seen The Danish Girl?
Do you know what? I've actually never seen the fully finished version.
You're joking.
No.
Is that why? Is he just scared?
Because of what I was saying before, because you know that's what's going out into the world. But I saw earlier cuts.
Theory of Everything, how many times?
I saw that at the premiere, yeah.
Okay, great. Well, you really don't watch much, do you? Do you and your wife ever sit and just watch real trash TV?
Yes.
Yeah.
What do you count as trash TV?
Well, anything fun.
Anything fun. I mean, I used to have a weird obsession with like The Hills and those sorts of programs. I my favourite television at the moment, I don't call it trash TV, is Gogglebox.
So good.
And I had the most scary experience, which happened just after the Oscars, of coming back, and Hannah and I turned on telly, and Gogglebox was on, and then suddenly, a clip from the Oscars came on, I paused it on like live pause. And I was like, I can't do this. Yeah. I can't watch these people that I love like slating me.
Yeah.
I went out of the room and Hannah watched it and then told me whether I was allowed to come back in and watch it. And the two women in Brixton, fortunately, were quite nice. They were like, who's that? What's he called? That red face or that red something or other? And I was like, I love them.
But I like it that you have to get Hannah to pre-watch
exactly.
it. Just to see.
I'm just going to break my heart.
Yeah, of course. I love those two. They're brilliant.
Yeah.
That's a great show. What about things like X Factor, Strictly, I'm a Celebrity?
Not at the moment because I'm working.
But you wouldn't say no.
Never say no. I can get fully into X Factor when I get like properly committed.
Real Housewives?
No. I mean, I have watched a few of them, but I had a conversation actually with Jennifer Lawrence, who is a serious Real Housewives fan. If you ever interview her, my God. Yeah.
Hills, Atlanta, Orange County?
I actually can't remember which one, but I remember her saying that when she took a friend to a premiere or to the Oscars or something with her 1 year, and then also took her to a restaurant opening of one of the Beverly Hills Housewives, and her friend was like, this is so much better than the Oscars. she is your encyclopedia if you ever need to know anything.
Oh, wow. I need to remember that next time. Is there a family member who comes at Christmas who has absolutely no interest in what you do whatsoever? Or they don't really know much? You're in films, right?
My family are sort of like, they're pretty supportive, but I don't think they have... I mean, they're all pretty good at being disinterested. Or not asking me too much. Maybe that's
the point. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. They just want you to feel like relaxed. But does the conversation always come back to you on Christmas Day?
No, I hope not. Oh, God. No.
Okay, a couple more. If you saw a pound coin on the floor, would you pick it up?
Hell yes.
No. Last time you had a kebab?
Last time I had a kebab. Ooh. Oh, God. Do you know what? That's actually been quite a long time.
Right. Did you film it with a camcorder?
I used to have kebabs lots at university. Film it with a camcorder? Almost certainly.
Okay. Yeah, it may have been. University. And what music are you into at the moment?
Oh, please don't ask me about my taste in music. I have such a hideous taste in music.
Is it that bad?
It's really bad.
Oh, no.
Like, it's actually sort of unspeakably bad. And
something you wouldn't want to reveal.
Yeah.
How bad basically, can it be? It's just music.
Basically, no, because it's pretty bad.
Okay. Wow, okay. Is it pop or so, is it...
Yeah, it's pretty, yeah.
Pop music.
But trashy pop.
Oh, I'm just intrigued.
Yeah.
Is it Eurovision?
No, it's not quite that bad.
Okay, all right, okay. I don't want to offend these people.
Oh, that's the thing now, yeah. Saying it's bad, you see what I'm saying?
Is it one particular group or band or artist?
Plethora of people.
Okay, right, I'll leave that right there. So The Danish Girl is out in cinemas on the 1st of January. That's actually a pretty good way to spend New Year's Day, isn't it? Go and watch it.
Go see this love story.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you very much, Eddie, for taking the time to speak to us today. Really nice to meet you.
Lovely to meet you too.
Thank you.
See you.
Bye-bye. Oh, I love him a lot.
Why wouldn't he say what his favourite music was?
So it's pop music and it's several different people. But why could he not be... I mean, I really pushed hard there and nothing at all.
I'm just thinking who it could be. It must be something really embarrassing.
How bad can it be?
Hello, it's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet to go over everything.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
And good morning, Adele Roberts.
Sorry, Scott, sorry.
What?
1 second.
Okay, good.
Sorry,
Lush.
I wasn't ready. Sorry about that.
What
I've just
that?
Had to put a throat sweet in my hand.
Okay.
Sorry. Very rude to talk to you with my mouth full.
How are you?
Fantastic, thank you. Enjoyed the show today. I've been enjoying your highlights of the Huns of the Year. And
Aww.
Eddie Redmayne was fantastic.
He was great. He's my new favourite actor.
Mm.
We're just trying to, and loads of people on text are speculating right now about what the really embarrassing music could be that he loves. Now, someone's misheard it. I said, well, who is it? Is it a band or an artist? He said several people. But someone here, this is Jordan from Cheshire, says that he thinks, he thought he said seven people. So that immediately went to S Club 7.
It could be. It actually could be that, though, couldn't it?
But he did say several, not seven. I'm saying it's Venga Boys.
That's a good one. Blazing Squad.
Yeah, could be.
I wasn't even embarrassed by that back in the day. I made them Record of the Week once.
No way.
Yeah,
what was it? Flip Reverse.
That's a
classic.
That's a banger,
I fully backed that at the time. I'm not ashamed. How was your Christmas, please?
Fantastic, good. I feel a lot less full than I did yesterday, Scott, so I've managed to work some off by walking around Oxford Street.
Good.
Yesterday. Did you just do that just now?
Yeah. Very on the good. Way in. It's quiet at the moment. I don't know if you went out on Oxford Street yesterday after you'd finished the show, but it's very busy at the moment. Lots
of people
getting stuck in. Yeah, do avoid it. It's very busy.
I feel a bit like my friend Chris here because for the first time, I think, ever in my history of filling in this show, I've not had a shower this morning.
Oh.
And that is, and I feel minging. And that is because I still have family at my house and... You find at 5 a.m. you're having to creep around, making sure like the floorboards don't creak, trying not to wake everybody up because there's like six people in my house right now.
Hmm.
So I'm just trying, and if I ran the shower, someone will wake up. So I just thought,
so it's the new you. No showers in the morning.
I'm going to start a new kind of chapter in my life where
no showers,
where I don't shower, just like you in the morning.
Yeah.
But I feel like I've been on a 10-hour flight. I feel like clammy and minging. Tomorrow we're back in the morning from 6:30 in for Grimmy. More Real or No Real and more of our best bits of 2015. Tomorrow, Amy Schumer.